So we're thinking today about Christian attitudes. Now today, as we watch our televisions and listen to the radio, we notice that great stress is laid upon giving people knowledge, giving them facts and technical know-how and basic skills to equip them to earn their living. But it seems to me that we often fail in teaching them what life is about and in showing them the right attitudes. Now, underlying the Christian way of life is the Christian attitude. It's this that helps us to determine our conduct. Apparently, a teacher once said to a class, he said, "You boys, you're getting rougher every day." "Yes, miss," said one of the boys, "that's the kind of world it is, and we're getting ready for it." It often appears, doesn't it, that the world is getting tougher and rougher today. And people living in it, by their way of living, their conduct, their words, all determined by their attitude to life, make the world the place that it is today. And if the world is to be made a better place, then attitudes all need to be changed. By nature, most of us are selfish. Now, we want our own way, don't we? We want to do our own thing. And what we have, we want to keep to ourselves. And some, of course, want what their neighbours have. Some want more, and they want to go one better. And in order to get this, they'll go to any lengths and allow nothing to stand in the way, trampling over everyone and breaking all the rules of decent living, if necessary, to get to the top. And that's what the Bible calls covetousness. That's their attitude. And even on the football pitch, you've got to have that killer instinct, haven't you? You've got to have that will to win at all cost, by fair means or foul. If you can fool the referee or the officials, that's fine. The professional foul is perfectly justified, we're told. And even in the Olympic Games, on the athletic track, in weightlifting, cycling, you name it, if you can win by taking drugs, by foul means, by beating the system, that, in some competitors' minds, is okay. And then, of course, society and other people constantly put us under pressure to be something that we're not. Our neighbours, mother, fathers, friends may well have expectations for us. We then feel the need to live up to other people's expectations. And we do it because we want their approval. We want their acceptance. And then every day we are bombarded with images that tell us the way that we should be, how to look, how to dress, how to behave, what to eat. And then there's the pressure, isn't there, of the rat race. It seems that we're working harder and longer, and yet the experience of many is that life, far from getting better, is getting worse. Freddie Mercury, you may remember Freddie Mercury, he was the lead singer with one of the world's greatest rock groups, Queen. And he died in 1991 from AIDS. And shortly before he died, he said this. He said, "You can have everything in the world and still be the loneliest man. And that is the most bitter type of loneliness. Success has brought me world idolization and millions of pounds, but it's prevented me from having the one thing that we all need, a loving, ongoing relationship." No, life was never meant to be this way. Paul, writing to the Galatian church, says this. He says, Christ has saved us and set us free. And so freedom is what we have. Christ has given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to be free, free from the world's ways. And in that same letter, in those few verses, chapter 5, 19 to 21, more than 12 evil works are mentioned, such as anger and envy, indecent, alcoholic, immoral. And this is what we are, isn't it, by nature? These are the things that we do. Go into our towns on Fridays and Saturdays. You'll see. In contrast to the work of the flesh, and the flesh, the Bible, is the symbol of all human opposition to God, we also see in these few verses the ninefold fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. All good Christian attitudes. But then some might say, well, can human nature be changed? Can attitudes be changed? Well, it can be difficult, but it can be done. We read from the Gospel of Luke this morning about the time when Jesus and his disciples were going down to Jerusalem. And the direct route led through Samaritan territory. Otherwise, it was a longer and more roundabout way. And Jesus was in a hurry, and so decided to take the shortcut, only to be stopped by these bigoted Samaritans who barred his way. And we noticed that James and John were furious. And they turned to Jesus and said, Lord, will you allow us to command fire to come down from heaven and burn them up the way Elijah did? It's not surprising, is it, that these two were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder? Well, Jesus had to calm them down. I think of that advert. Who is it who does it? Michael Winnie? Calm down, calm down. And so Jesus calmed them down. He said, you don't know what kind of spirit you ought to have, he said. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Well, of course, the Samaritans were wrong in barring the way. And that was due to their religious and racial hatred and prejudice. But it was also wrong for James and John to show an equally intolerant spirit in wanting to exterminate them. They wanted revenge. Well, John at least did learn the lesson, because he came to be known in the end as the beloved disciple. Of course, it's still difficult to change people's attitudes, but it's not impossible. Charles Colson was one of President Nixon's right-hand men in the White House. And was involved with the president in the Watergate scandal. But while serving his prison sentence for his involvement in the affair, he was converted to Christ, and this selfishly ambitious lawyer went on to use his talents to bring men and women, many of them in prison, to his Saviour. That driving ambition had been channeled into winning people for Christ. You see, his old attitude was changed, as he tells the story in his book, Born Again. See, if we are to have Christian attitudes, then we need to be changed. We need to be converted, as the Bible says, born again, start afresh. You know, we're all basically selfish and sinful. But God changes us by giving us the Spirit of his Son. And in Galatians 5:26, the Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives. And so Christ has set us free. Free not to live permissive, self-indulgent lives, but to put ourselves at God's disposal. It's not the freedom to do wrong, to sin. It's the freedom not to do wrong, not to sin. And it's the most wonderful thing to follow Jesus. But as any follower will tell you, it carries a cost. When we put ourselves at God's disposal, what will this mean for us in our relationships with others? Well, first of all, we need to remember that all men and women, no matter what their race or colour, have been made in the image of God, and that they are all men and women for whom Christ died. You don't have to look a certain way or live in a certain way. You don't have to be straight or married or middle class or coping. You just have to be you. So the Christian attitude means that we won't look down on any person or despise them in any way, because Christ loves each one of us. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That was Jesus' incredible instruction. Just think, had that been heeded, just how different the world's history would have been. Do we have enemies? Are there people we disagree with? And do we perhaps think life would be easier if only a thunderbolt came down and got rid of them? If we think that way, Jesus rebukes us, just as he did James and John. You see, if others choose to act against us, then that's their problem. That's their problem. But we are to behave by Jesus' standards. We're to have the same attitude as Jesus. You know, copying James and John is not hard. Seeking revenge, trying to hurt those who hurt us, that's not hard. But loving your enemies is. Resolving conflict without violence is. Having the same attitude to life as Jesus is. But it can be done with the Spirit of Christ in us. Just for a moment, call to mind someone who has hurt you. And see in your mind the love of Jesus on the cross, reaching out to and embracing them. And reflect on what might make them tick. Reflect on everything good about that person. And pray a prayer of thanks for them. Ask God to help you to love. Then find and seize an opportunity to do something helpful for them. Now, we are not responsible for that person's attitude to us, but we are responsible for our own attitude to them and for not mimicking James and John. And with regard to helping others, the Christian attitude is to go that second mile. The Jews were required by law to carry a load if commanded by a Roman soldier, and to carry it for 1 mile. That was the law. And they detested doing it because they hated the Romans. But Jesus said to them, if anybody compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. So the law compelled 1 mile, but Jesus said two. And so he put into practice the law of love for your neighbour and your enemy. You see, the right attitude will make us do far more than the law demands. So Jesus was trying to show them that the spirit of helpfulness doesn't stop at mere duty. It is faith, not the law, that empowers us to go the extra mile. In sport and leisure, the Christian attitude is that we play the game according to the rules, and it doesn't matter whether we win or lose. What matters is how we play. In our dealings with others, the Christian attitude means that we speak the truth and that we're honest to God. The Christian attitude is the attitude of Jesus, seeing others and our work with his eyes and doing everything in his spirit. And we know how far he went for others and for us. He went to the cross itself. And so do we mean it when we say, Lord, I will follow you? Of course it will be difficult, but it can be done with the help of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 verse 1, Christ has saved us and set us free. Free not to live permissive, self-indulgent lives, but to put ourselves at God's disposal. And so Paul encourages us to follow Jesus, to have the same attitudes as Jesus, to have Christian attitudes. May he help us as we seek to follow him.